episode 249 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Sandy, and Elizabeth. This week we are also excited to welcome back Heidi to help us with our topic. So a few weeks ago, in episode 245, we talked about responsible tourism and how not to be that person. So this week, we wanted to dive a little deeper into the problem of over-tourism. With the surging popularity of social media, we're seeing more and more people traveling, which is a good thing. We always have to be mindful, however, of the impact we're having on the places that we visit. We're starting to see places like Venice, Amsterdam, and Barcelona put policies in place to actually discourage tourism. So what should you do when you want to visit that bucket list place, but you know there are issues with crowds? Well, we have some suggestions to help you. So let's get started.
I think this is a really touchy subject for us to talk about as travel agents, because we're in the job
of sending you places,
and selling you travel. So I think it's hard for us to sort of balance that responsibility with your desire to see a place. Do you guys find yourself sort of trying to steer people away from some of these places that are over-touristed? Not to steer them away from travel, but...
Not really to steer them away from a place that they've specifically mentioned wanting to go, if there's a desire or connection to see that place. But sometimes people will come to you and they'll say, I want to go to Italy. They have no specific destination in mind in Italy, and it doesn't mean that you have to send them directly to Venice. And not Pasco. When there's a little more leeway, when there's no emotional connection to what they want to do, yes.
Yeah, and I actually find I'm having those conversations. It's like, so, you know, what cities do you want to go to? Would you like to go to Venice? Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on in Venice right now and just sort of let's prepare you. And if you're going in November, that conversation may be very different than if you're going in July.
Yes, indeed. You know?
Yeah. So, but I do find myself, and the same with Barcelona. And the problem with both of those cities, in particular, and actually Amsterdam is true as well, they're cruise ports. So sometimes people have to go there because that's where they're catching their ship. So they really don't have any choice. So it doesn't mean you can't go to these places, but let's talk a little bit about what's going on in those places that's making them sort of hit this wall of, oh my God, please don't come here.
Well, they're all beautiful places. Right. Like they're popular for a reason. It feels like these places have just, they want to discourage day trippers. I think they don't get as much for their economy out of the day trippers. Right. They want people to come and stay and savor and not just kind of come in, use their facilities, maybe drop a little money and then leave, mm-hmm. versus staying there for a few days and getting to know the place and dropping more money into their economy.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I've heard this, especially about Barcelona and a little bit about Amsterdam too, is things like Airbnb don't always give back to the local economy like you would think they would. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not how Airbnb was intended when it was originally set up. So people are buying up this real estate just to have it as Airbnb, and it's driving the prices up so that the locals don't actually live in those city centers anymore.
They cannot. So like, right. In Barcelona, they had to actually build another market for the citizens of Barcelona because the market was so over-touristed that the citizens couldn't get parking, they couldn't even get in to buy what they needed. So now there's an actual market for people that live there.
And incidentally, Venice is the same way. Yeah. You mentioned Amsterdam and Barcelona, but Airbnb is a huge issue there as well. And that's the thing too, part of the reason they're not giving back to the local economy is because the people who buy those Airbnbs,
they're not Italian. Local.
Yeah, they're not Spanish, they're not Italian, they're not.
In Venice, it's mostly Chinese investors, yeah, that are buying the restaurants.
That is the whole West Coast of the country,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what people don't think about too is this is not just affecting their economy. I mean, even if it's going to affect your trip too when you're staying in those places, because you're no longer surrounded by the little old man who goes to the cafe every morning and has his coffee and drinks the paper, and you're not getting that authentic experience that people are kind of thinking they're signing up for when they book travel that way.
And don't you think too, like your first trip, if you were your first trip and you've never been, you're not going to notice that. You're going to be so enthralled that you're seeing the things that you really have heard that you needed to see and that you want to see. But if you go again and again, you'll see this. Like, you'll see that this is not, you'll then be able to kind of see the over-touristed aspect of it. Like, if you go to the Louvre, how many people truly go to the Louvre to see the art?
Not all the art.
But how many people do you think really go to see, like, the Mona Lisa and the Venus de Milo and the really hot ticket items? And you walk into that room with the Mona Lisa, and it's this tiny painting in this giant hall, and it's everyone with selfie sticks, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you could actually, if you wanted to see it, you could actually see it better online than you would ever see it in that room.
Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, the Mona Lisa has been like that since the beginning.
Absolutely.
I mean, well, yeah. Since the beginning of my lifetime, for which sure. is a long time ago, yeah. Although selfie sticks were not a thing, yeah. But you know, that's always been.
Or iPads.
Yeah, yeah. iPads. It's, but there's always been people with sticking their cameras up or being in the way or crowding.
You're right.
And yet, we'll still do that year after year. But I think something like the Mona Lisa is like, it's one of those things. I mean, it's kind of like Disney World, right? It's sort of a thing that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, we love it. We want to do it again and again. But for a lot of people, it's like, okay, did that, checked it off. Mm-hmm. The kids have seen it. Now we can do other things.
Right.
And so I think that, but Venice as a city or Barcelona, it's harder to say that's your bucket list. Like,
yeah,
it may be that you want to see the cathedral, or you want to see, you know, the glass blowers or whatever, you know, you may have a particular thing, but that whole city then becomes sort of a Mona Lisa.
Exactly.
You know, and it's overrun and definitely.
Instagram influencers.
Very, really, really, truly. Like those Instagrammable moments that are kind of pushing. And there, I feel like there's like 70% of the people are seeing 30% of the things all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like they're not, like for me, it was this huge moment where we were in the Vatican Museum and it had just opened. We had reservations and people were running past us. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to the Vatican Museum, the ceilings in the Vatican are mind blowing. Like they're gold inlay, and like you could just spend your time looking up at the ceilings if you're looking at nothing else. And so people were running, and they were running to get to the Sistine Chapel. Now, granted, the Sistine Chapel is wonderful to see, but they're running past all these ceilings and these gold tapestries and just to get to that one thing. And that for me was like a moment like, oh my God, how many of these people even know what they're running for? And they're running past these priceless things.
That's how I feel I'm like at a concert and I see people, like just holding up their phone and
recording. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
And they're not watching it. They're watching it through their phone. I'm like, put the phone down. You're right there. You know?
And I don't care how good your phone is. It will never be as good as
my phone is. I can't take good concert videos.
The Instagram thing, it's interesting that you brought that up, because there was one of the articles that we looked at as we were looking at this about the lavender fields. And did you guys read that with the photographer? I mean, he was ranting, and he was a photographer.
He was very angry.
But, and it's funny because I've also seen, there was a great picture that was going around for virally that was like this guy on a beach in Thailand taking pictures of all the Instagram photographers with their girlfriends, and listen, there's all these like Instagram models
all
in the
doing
water,
heart hands.
Like basically all the way down the beach, and that's all that's happening. Yeah, is these posed pictures, and it sort of makes you. It's like when you're looking at Instagram, really look at it. I mean, these people, like the lavender fields. He was talking about people running back and forth from the fields to get to do costume changes,
changing their clothes,
their
clothes
for their, and you know, then they're running through this lavender, which is like. It's a plant and it needs to grow and it needs to be harvested. And when you run through it, you're like knocking it down and trampling on it. And so it's sort of this like lack of common sense about, and that's sort of, you know, Venice has felt this way a long time about the cruise ships coming in. And we've had a few
and
incidents
Amsterdam
lately.
With the whole, with the whole economy of people thinking it's just a city of weed and debauchery and it's not,
it's not a very small part of it.
Mm-hmm. And then it becomes one of the articles that we read leading up to this, then it becomes, why are you even traveling?
Right.
If you're traveling just because you saw, you just to, for that picture, what are you truly getting out of it?
Right.
Instead of making a connection with a destination or with a culture or having an authentic experience, you're having this, well, I did this.
You checked it off. Yeah.
And I can prove I did this.
I can prove I did it because yeah. I've got these pictures. So, like, mm-hmm. there'll be people that...
And I look fabulous in them because I changed my clothes.
I changed my clothes, like, 6 times. And I look great.
How ridiculous it is to have to pack anyway to bring... Yeah.
But you know what, you guys? This is where I think travel agents come in really handy because I'm on a really large group on Facebook. And it'll be a really vague question like, I'm going to Italy. Where should I go? Mm-hmm. And nobody asks any questions. It's just like, Florence. Well, you know what? No. Do you hate art? Mm-hmm. Don't go to Florida.
Or do you even like, really like art?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to hate it.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not interested in art? Then why would you send someone to Florence?
Because you want to buy leather or gold. Well, but if you don't want to do those things.
That's true. The leather is very good. But in general, like, there are so many other places that you could offer someone if they have an interest in something.
Yeah.
Instead of just those tried and true. Like my sister, for example, she does not like art museums. I would not say, let's go to Florence. You're not going to enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to be in the cards for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone doesn't like crowds, you wouldn't send them to Venice in July, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you really want to see it, there are times that you can go where you can truly enjoy it and see the beauty of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because you can read books about Venice and like the way that these books can bring this city to life. You're like, this has got to be the most beautiful city in the world. And then if you go in July, you'll be like, maybe I need to reread that book. Yeah, maybe I read that wrong.
Or maybe you're only in the part of the city that everybody's going to. So like once you Prague, I think is the same way. There's like almost like a path that people take that takes them from one side of the river over the Charles Bridge into like where the kind of wind your way over to the cathedral into the square. You get like one block off of that. There's hardly anybody on those streets, mm-hmm. and they're still just as pretty. But everybody kind of follows a path because you're just following other people. So
then you don't want to get lost.
You don't want to get lost. But you know what's going to happen if you get lost?
We have to pull out your compass.
Right. You have to pull out your compass because your phone's not going to work.
The best travel moments when you go farther out.
Absolutely. And get lost.
You get to have those experiences that it feels like you're discovering something mm-hmm. for the first time. And there's really nothing in the world that can replicate that. You can't buy that feeling.
That's mm-hmm. where you get the authentic stuff too. But like whenever you meet the locals who are not getting part of that economy that's like right in the square,
mm-hmm.
So it's spreading it around a little bit more too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something I learned.
If you get a private guide, sometimes they can take you to some of those places mm-hmm. that are off the beaten path or the restaurant that not everybody goes to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although we bummed on that because whenever I stayed in Paris with a family, I was cutting some corners and we did an apart hotel and we were in the 15th and we did the sort of like welcome to Paris private tour. And I was all excited about it. And she showed up and I told her, we like craft beer and we like cheese and we like all these things. And she said, I'm going to show you how to use the metro system and we're going to get out of here. And I was like, okay, is it not safe? She's like, no, it's just, there's nothing here. Mm-hmm. So she said, I'm going to point out like two restaurants where you could go eat that are near your hotel that are actually really good. And she's like, my friend is a waiter up there. And so like, she gave us some suggestions, but she's like, basically there's nothing here.
Yeah. Like I never come here.
Yeah. She's like, I never come here. There's nothing. There's the only reason to come here is because you live here.
It's and very
so,
sterile.
So yeah. But at the same time, we were staying in a residential area. So it was kind of nice. We were sort of like, okay, well, it's as if we live here. That's how I sold it to the kids. So kids, it's like we live here.
You're pretending you're great. You're not going to stand out.
No, yeah. And you can see the Eiffel Tower from your window. So
actually talking about that, the people that say like they went up in the Eiffel Tower and they're sort of disappointed. Well, yes, you probably are because you're not seeing the Eiffel Tower because you're in it. Yeah. So go up in the Montparnasse Tower and you can see the vista of the city with the Eiffel Tower in it. And there's a fraction of the tourists in it. So if you don't have some burning desire to go up in the actual Eiffel Tower, there are things you can do that are outside of it.
That's the kind of thing, yeah. Because if you think about it, that's the kind of thing you would do because you think you have to do it.
Right. I've never been.
But do you have to do it?
I've never been in the Eiffel Tower. No. Yeah. I mean, there's no need. For me, there's no need. But I mean, I totally respect, too, like what I'm saying, like when I kind of got this whole over-touristed bee in my bonnet, so to speak, I respect what they're doing. Like they have a bucket list or they have things in their head that they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the ones that I think that aren't really thinking about it at all.
Right.
And they're just doing it because
just doing it because everyone else is doing it.
Because it's on Instagram. Yeah.
It's on Instagram.
And it's like you could send them to someplace completely. Like when we went to Verona, we were in this church with this incredible, I can't remember who the painter was, Tintoretto maybe. There were me and my husband and another guy in there. And we were with this incredible altar, you know, like, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely beautiful. But it's not for everybody. I get it. It's like some people really want to be where everybody else is.
Well, the thing is, there are some big things that are in places that you wouldn't go to. Like, if I remember correctly, and I might be wrong about this, the Last Supper is like in, it's not.
It's in Milan in a little
church. It's in Milan, right. And so, and people don't usually go to Milan. Mm-hmm. Like Milan, yes, there's flights there and they're really cheap because nobody goes there. It's a business. It's a business center.
And fashion, exactly.
And opera.
European vacation.
Yeah.
So it really, I
went when I was much younger, so it could be different now, but it really wasn't that crowded, mm-hmm. you know, and it's one of the most famous paintings in the world. Like everybody knows this painting. It's parodied everywhere. Everybody knows this painting.
And everyone I'm related to has a version of it.
And it was really interesting because even my little 13-year-old, you know, skeptical self who was like, oh, the Roman Forum, it's a pile of rocks. I didn't know what I was going to go see. You know, I'm being taken to these things. And my dad's like, we're going to go see The Last Supper. And I'm like, I don't know what you, I mean, I knew what that was, but I didn't really know what it was. And I certainly didn't know he meant that painting. And we come around this corner. I'm like, oh my God, like, I know exactly what this is.
Even now it's all climate control. And you know, what totally cracked me up was there's a doorway cut on Jesus's feet because it was a supper hall. It was the dining hall in the not the monastery, but wherever the monks are. I can't think of the name. And it was a dining hall. So they cut up, they needed a door. So they cut a door.
Wow.
And they have all these photos in there that it was the only wall to survive all the bombing in World War II when the rest of it was completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those moments where you turn that corner and you see this thing and you're like, I'm seeing the Last Supper.
Yeah.
But you can also go and see the Scrovegni Chapel in Padua and it's mind blowing. And there's a fraction of the tourists. So there's a lot of alternate things. If something is really crowded, look at something alternate, mm-hmm. ask your travel agent or do a little research yourself and say.
And really ask yourself what it is that you mm-hmm. really yep. want. Make like, it is your- it that you want to see the Instagrammable places? Because if that's truly what you want, then you can't really avoid
right.
over-touristing.
Unless you go mm-hmm. at a time of the year
right.
when there aren't a lot of people.
Right. Which means it might not be. I mean, like you can only go to the lavender fields when the lavender True. Fields are there.
True. But you can go to Rome. Like I had right. a friend that we went, the first time we went was in November. And he said to me, I'd taken a picture at the Trevi Fountain. He's like, how did you get even close to it? It's like, we couldn't even get anywhere near it. We just walked right up to it. There was nobody there. I mean, not nobody, but there were tourists, but not mountains of tourists. So if you really want to see these super popular places, then maybe go on an off season.
Mm-hmm. One other thing you can do that would really help is to, if you have to see these places, do it in smaller groups. Mm-hmm. As an example of that, the King's Road, the Dark Hedges, mm-hmm. Have been permanently irreparably damaged because of giant tour buses.
Oh God, that's depressing.
And yeah, it's very sad. Over tourism, one of the it erodes some of these amazing. Like you were saying with the lavender fields and people going into that moss that someone made famous in Iceland and everyone went and destroyed. And, but it's damaging these places that we all love and we want to try and preserve so that people can enjoy them and see them. If you make a conscious effort to go with a smaller group, not only are you going to be helping out these places and helping to preserve them, you're also going to be helping yourself. You're going to get a better experience.
Yes. And I think one of the biggest hesitations with that is smaller groups cost more.
They do. And I was supposed to say, this is a plug for river cruise mm-hmm. because you are going in smaller groups and you're going to places they can go to smaller locales. So you're not all converging on the same exact dock in Venice or the same dock in Barcelona. You're able to they're able to spread it out a little bit.
Yep. And then you're also making a smaller carbon footprint. So you're not in a huge 50-person motor coach. You're in a small 15-person motor coach. And those, it's a huge difference. I mean, it is a huge difference mm-hmm. in how much fuel it burns and how much space it takes up and whether or not it knocks down the hedgerows. I mean, you know, all of those things are key. And actually, when Lindsay and I were in Ireland a couple of years ago and we did the Ring of Kerry and we were in a 22-passenger van, mm-hmm. is that about what it was? And we're passing these huge motor coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so much easier for us to navigate all of that. And I mean, even just being in one of those motor coaches would have made me completely stressed out because those are small roads. So you're trying to enjoy the view, which you only get out of one side anyway. Whereas in a smaller van, you all can see out that window without having to crane your neck. Mm-hmm. Honestly, any difference in price, which I don't really think our 18, 19 person tour was any different in price than a...
I don't think it was. I think we had a better experience because of how we did that tour. And, you know, and that's one of the things that you really have to think about when you're stressing the value of what you're going to get out of this experience. Right. You know, is it just that Instagram shot that you want and you're never going to... But this... Spend a little bit more time, work with a travel advisor, find a tour that works better for you, for what you want to do. And there, one of the nice responses to over tourism is there are a lot of companies out there who are offering off the beaten path tours.
And sustainable tourism.
They give back.
It's been overlooked in these beautiful parts of the world. So I think, then just think about, even if you are an Instagrammer, think about how much cooler your pictures are going to be when,
or not when you're doing something different.
Or what if you don't do anything at all for a change? Like one of the things that I learned, we went on a river cruise and at the very tail end of it, we were in Amsterdam. Now, granted, I'd been to Amsterdam before, but it was raining and it was miserable. So we kind of did a few little things. And then we said, you know what? Let's find a nice hotel bar. And we went in and we had nibblies and we had cocktails and we spent hours in that bar with another couple from the cruise. And it is one of the most memorable afternoons. We were not particularly, you know, it was horrible outside. So don't push through if you don't feel like it. Yeah. Your best memories may come from meeting somebody else and just sitting down and relaxing and having a nice afternoon.
That reminds me of when we went to Epcot that one time and just sat in the bar in England.
Yeah. And it was pouring rain, if I remember correctly.
You spent a rare day at Epcot in a bar.
It's hard to do.
If it's raining.
That was so much fun.
It wasn't even raining.
I mean, it's a theme park, but it's kind of a good example of a place where people might feel pressured to go do other things.
Yeah.
And we had the best time.
There you go, right?
Yeah, there was a piano player. Yeah. And,
I mean, let's check our privilege here for a second, if I may coin a phrase. But we are very fortunate that like Sandy and Lindsay and I have been to Disney World many bajillion times. Yes, you've been to Amsterdam several times. Mm-hmm. It is easier to do that when you've been there a lot of times.
True.
That said, I still encourage people to do it.
Absolutely.
I definitely. And every time I send a family to Disney World, I'm like, look, you can try to do everything. And you're going to fail. Yeah, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So instead of doing that, do the things that are most important to you. Mm-hmm. And when you see a flower, stop and smell it.
Yeah.
When you see a drink that you want to try, drink it. Stop and drink it.
Yeah.
It's totally okay to do that because that your vacation, you know, people think my vacation is all about doing all the things. Mm-hmm. No, your vacation is actually about seeing another place. And we've talked a lot about Europe here. I want to talk about our national parks a little bit too, but mm-hmm. I think that any place like this that is, you know, it's I've got to see this and this and this and this and this. Okay, maybe pull that back a little bit and just remember that part of your vacation is to unwind, mm-hmm. unplug, mm-hmm. and relax.
It really doesn't matter the destination.
It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if you spend a lot of money to go to Amsterdam. Sitting in a cafe for 3 hours is a good thing to do.
And it was a great thing to do because we were tired. And like we have this, we call it the death march.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you've been walking around for hours or days, mm-hmm. you're tired. You might be a little witchy at that point, and you're just sick of seeing stuff. Like there's like, I've had people comment to me like, oh, you stop and you do laundry once a week. Yeah, I go to the laundromat and I throw some clothes in. It's great. I bring my Kindle. I sit down. I don't have to see or think because you can't go all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't go 24/7. I have to have some downtime. So you build that downtime in.
It took me a long time to learn that because that was one of the things when I would plan family vacations that my husband would complain about. I didn't build in the downtime. I wanted us always having that thing.
Because you wanted to get that experience.
Yeah, I'm like, we have to do this, but we have to do this. We have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not feel relaxed at all.
Yeah.
And complain about it a lot. So,
Well, and even my kids who are all about seeing a lot of things, you know, want to have a little bit of downtime. And so I've learned to sort of, I hesitate to say build that in, but allow that to happen. Because it's one thing, when you schedule downtime, Yeah. It's not that, then it's scheduled time. So it's better to just say, you know what, everybody's tired. Let's stop and have this ice cream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's, I think actually we were just having this conversation about this on my Facebook page about the best ice cream you've ever had. Mm-hmm. And there's a place right near Notre Dame that
Did you see my comment? Oh my God.
And you're not lying. Yeah. It's so good.
It's really good.
It's totally worth it to just
stop. They're closed the whole month of August for
vacation. Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with age. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah.
Because when I was, you know, when I was 20 years ago, it's like, okay, it's go, 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 go.
Yeah, true.
And now it's like, you know, we don't have to go. We can actually go sit by pools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important to balance that. But that actually helps with the whole over-tourism thing. It's like you pick out the things that are most important to you and you say, this is what I'm, this is, these are the key things. And then the rest of the time, I'm going to go wander and see what I can see. And maybe I am going to stay in the 15th where there's really nothing to do but be residential, because then I'm going to feel a little bit more like a Parisian. And you know what? It was great because there was a grocery store right around the corner from us. It was really easy to like buy bread, buy cheese, buy supplies that we need. I mean, anything, it was right around the corner. Whereas if you're staying, you know, in the first, no, it's pretty much going to be really expensive stuff. Or
every second.
Yeah. And you might find a Duane Reade, but that's really it. You know, that's, you're not going to have as authentic an experience.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the national parks.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. So, because I know you did a lot of research on that and some of the things, the problems.
I've never been to a national park.
Not a single one?
I don't think so. I think
we've been to the mall in DC, right?
Maybe.
Seen the monuments, like
maybe
the Lincoln Memorial and the Reflection Park.
Okay, so are these part of the national parks, or some of those monuments are actually part of the Department of the Interior?
Yes, she's right.
National Park Service.
But yeah. Do you think that
the park rangers talk
from
about
Boston? Like, sure. Well, you're from Massachusetts.
Well, I'm from Connecticut, but yes, I've been to Faneuil Hall and stuff.
Right now, too. I don't think I've ever been to a national park either.
Well, thank you.
What the fuck? You've been to Denali. I know you've been to Denali because I just saw that.
Yeah, we were in Denali together. And you were in Glacier Bay National Park with me.
But are the parks crowded? I mean, is this a thing?
So,
and you've never been to Rainier?
No, yeah. No. Okay, go ahead.
The national parks have been getting crowded. And one of the ones I follow semi-closely is Yosemite, because we've been there a couple times as a family. And the times we went, it's been like 6 or 7 years since we've been. But when we went before, it was a different company that was in charge of like doing the campgrounds and stuff. The company has changed over, and now the overcrowding has gotten worse. And part of that was because they were trying to just bring people in to fill up all these tents and stuff. And they cut the bus system for some reason, you know, so things like that really made a difference in the way the parks run. And if you're doing a day trip, I mean, you can't really do a day trip to Yosemite, but people do, you know, and then they're like relying on the buses to take them around the park and stuff. So I think getting in there, spending time, if you can camp, or, I mean, there's hotels
in
there too.
Do you have to pay to enter a national park?
Yeah. Yosemite was, back then it was like $20 a carload. Well, it lasted, that was our whole week. We didn't leave again, you know, but...
Every time you enter.
Yeah.
All of the big ones do, but some of the really small ones you do not.
Well, there's a one, like when we drive to Pittsburgh, there's a stop we do at New River Gorge, and it's basically kind of like a rest stop. We stop there, we go look at the bridge. It's a huge expansion bridge that has over the gorge that people used to... like they do a big yearly bungee jump.
They have a great lunch there too.
It's an awesome, awesome place. They have like a really cool place to walk your dogs. It's like flowers and stuff, and they have paths through it. And I went there for years before I realized it was a national park. but it is. It's like the tip of a national park. So that one you don't pay for that. Right, but
what about like Alaska? Like when you go to Alaska and you go to Denali, did you get a sense that, is it very crowded, or is it?
Well, we were there in March, so it was not. But
and Denali is very controlled. Like there's only certain times that
you can drive 15 miles into the park. Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
You have to be on a tour to go further into the park. Mm-hmm. So
which is their buses. Mm-hmm. Their buses, not anybody else's buses.
Yeah. So you have to book that in advance and stuff. And all the hotels are outside of the park. Mm-hmm. Yosemite, there's places to stay in Yosemite Valley. There's like two hotels, and then there's some campgrounds, and you can tent camp, or you can, they have like these tents that are already set up that mm-hmm. are kind of pioneer-y. So there's kind of glamping places, not glamping where you have like really nice stuff, but you don't have to bring your tent.
So camping is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but you don't bring your own tent, basically. Camping. But you can stay outside of Yosemite, but you're going to drive like an hour to get to Yosemite.
So when people camp like that, do they bring like their own food and stuff?
Yes.
And then their own trash.
Well, there's a grocery store actually in Yosemite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we always brought our own.
And pick up stuff, but it's always a good idea to pick up stuff at the grocery store before you go in, because you're going to pay a lot more for it in the park.
And there are bear boxes. You can't like leave your cooler in your car. Mm-hmm. You have to lock it up in this bear box. Because that, when you're checking in, there's videos of bears like ripping the doors off of cars.
Wow.
Yeah. They like get their little claws in the seam and they just peel your car.
Yeah, I'm totally going to sleep there.
No, never. said Elizabeth Riding.
Wrong.
But, you know, another one of the things, this is, I think, a good thing that Yosemite did years ago. When people wanted to hike Half Dome, they started requiring you to get a permit, and they do this as a lottery. So, and it's a strenuous hike. I mean, it takes you all day, you know, so, and you do have to be a certain like fitness level mm-hmm. to do it. So it's not good when you have people who probably shouldn't be doing it, trying to go all that
kind
way.
Kind of like what happened with Everest. What's happening with Everest on a more... Yeah.
Well, in Yosemite, so Yosemite is trying to control that. I think Everest is a good example of a government that's not trying to control it.
Because they need what they're getting.
Right,
exactly. And that's, and incidentally, Peru, which is a place that also could use the tourism dollars, they have hiking permits. Mm-hmm. And only certain numbers of people can go on the trail. And they only give out a certain number of tickets. And you cannot go if you do not have that ticket. And
so you're talking about Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu, yeah.
Or just the Inca Trail in general.
The Inca Trail in general.
Mm-hmm. That brings up a good point in one of the articles I read about alternatives, because Peru needs the tourist dollars, but I'm going to butcher it, the Chico Clara, help me out.
Chico Clara?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
In Peru or Italy?
Yeah, in Peru, they're saying that the Chico Clara is a good alternative. Choco Clara.
I mean, I think there's like another site that's really well known, and then it's on the Inca Trail, and there are other places to go. But of course, Machu Picchu is so spectacular that's where everyone wants to go.
Even in the Himalayas, people have started actually climbing different mountains because Everest has gotten so crowded.
This year was particularly bad for
Everest. This year was, and it had a lot of very bad press. It wasn't, I think a lot of years are probably pretty bad, but this particular year it seemed like
many people died just waiting to
get waiting. I think the overcrowding was bad, and I think the window of time was bad. Mm-hmm. Like it was shorter than people could actually
see. People died waiting to get down. That is, to me,
it's, I can't even put words to that.
Yeah.
Like you've already made it to the top. Is okay, but getting down is the hard part.
It's because the expedition companies will take people who are not supposed to, like, they're not in the shape that they need to be in to go do that.
And I think that really does lend an argument to know what you're in for, know what you're committing to, and be ready for it. Mm-hmm. Because even like the Inca Trail that we were talking about, there are ways to do it that are not as strenuous. Don't choose the strenuous way if that's not what you can do.
Like when we did the podcast with your food.
That was
awesome though.
Yeah, right? She's like, she
trained for a year.
Yeah, she trained for a year to do it. That's different. It's like
when we had Ron on after his trip to Everest, and you know, he was only supposed to go to base camp, but that was the year of the earthquake and the avalanche. I mean, he was like sleeping outside on his porch in 20 degree weather, and it was not like a glamping trip for him at all, you know.
So. And that's the thing, you have to take this seriously. I think that we've sort of come into a place where it's like, oh, anybody can do it. It's like, okay, anybody can do it if they train to do it. Just like anybody could have done it 40 years ago, but people were not like training.
And they're really putting their Sherpas at risk.
Yeah. And how many people too, like in the article that about the lavender fields, did you see the part in Iceland about the people going on the pieces of ice to take the selfies?
Yeah.
And then the ice are just like, they're going out to sea on these giant pieces of ice.
Well, it's like the selfies of the Grand Canyon too. People dying by going over the edge. It's like, just understand that what you're doing, it's not, I'm just going to say this. It's not Disney World. There's not safety rails. There's not like some guide watching over you.
They're real bears.
This is nature.
Yeah, yeah. Like real things out there.
They're real bears. They're not singing the country jamboree. They are actual bears, and they will eat your face. And it's this. And I mean, just the same.
Or your cooler.
And your car.
They're more after your cooler, but yeah.
But they'll eat your face if it's in the way. So yeah.
What they're after in your car is like any scrap of food you've left in there.
And it's like all the wild animals. I mean, it sort of harkens back to our don't be that guy. You know, don't step over the barrier in the zoo. Mm-hmm. It's there for a reason. Right.
There's a sign there for a reason.
And when you get eaten by the lion, don't blame the lion because he was just being a lion. he was just doing his lion thing.
Recently, and they basically didn't. They said, well, you shouldn't have put your face up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
It's, you know, you think that you're so safe. We just think that we're so safe. And part of travel is not being safe for a minute, but understand that not being safe is also not being stupid. You know,
not putting other people's lives in danger too, because just because those tour companies will sell you a tour. I mean, on a very, very, very much smaller scale, we're prime examples of that with the tour that we took that we should have not been sold.
The Puerto Rico one?
Oh, it's going to be a nice little hike and you're going to see this beautiful cave.
Oh, well, it's only a 20-minute walk with a 25% grade.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rappel down the
They didn't tell you that.
That's where your guides really, I mean, if you feel any discomfort whatsoever in a company or in a country, go with a guide. And that way, you know, you've got somebody who knows the language, who knows the lay of the land, and they can kind of direct you in the right way.
And that small group and that private guide, you know, again, yes, the dollars are higher, but what are you there to do? Mm-hmm. When we did the Great Wall, we did a private guide that my sister found, and I risked my life, and you guys have seen the pictures.
It gives me the shakes every time I look at that. I
probably should not have done that hike, but I did. And the fact is, if I really couldn't have done it, there were only three of us and a guide. Mm-hmm. The guide was from China. We were giving our dollars to this guide. It was not anything, you know, and had I really not been able to do it, he would have found another way for us to finish that. You know, he would have called the van and had them come pick us up at a different place or whatever. Like, we had that opportunity. Sandy and Lindsay didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the guy with the rope.
It was pretty much, I'm going to live here now.
Like, is there a helicopter?
Were you like on a trail?
Yeah. We were.
You wanted us to get into that situation. And then finally get out of the cave. And I'm just.
You were in a cave.
Almost died.
They were everywhere. They could have killed you.
We were in the jungle.
Where are they going to pick us up? We
basically did a hike down to a river. And most of the people rappelled down, but they told me and Lindsay that it might be uncomfortable with the gear and stuff, so we might want to do this scenic hike instead. The hike was like, tie a rope around us, and this little like 100-pound guy was like, all right, I'm going to be your anchor, and you need to feel your way down these rocks.
What kind of tour was this?
It was a deadly tour. So, but this is about over tourism. So I do want to get back on topic. Although that's a hilarious story, we do need to get back on topic, and it's only hilarious because you survived it.
Illustrate the fact that just because you can.
Sign up for something, you should.
I mean, I felt like it was going to be totally safe after talking to that woman, and it was not.
And that is the thing. In the end, I mean, we talk about these over-touristed places, but they do also want your dollars. So although they say they don't want to turn you, they say they want to turn you away, they don't. And so you just have to be aware. And honestly, I have yet to go to Barcelona.
Me either.
I'm going to go. I mean, I'm going to go.
I don't want to go.
I don't really want to go because of the over-tourism, but I want to go because I would like to go to Barcelona. Oh, I've always wanted to go.
Beautiful.
I know.
But there's so many beautiful cities.
And I do think that when I go, I will try to do it in a very responsible way and not stay in, you know, the center of town. Mm-hmm. And I certainly will not stay in an Airbnb, and, you know, I'll do all the right things, hopefully. But I definitely want to go there. However, so you're, so tourism is still important. You just need to think about how you're doing it and really, excuse me, again, what you want to accomplish from the trip. Like, what is it that you, do you want to see fine art? Then you should go to the Louvre, but maybe go a different route at the Louvre and maybe not worry so much about seeing the Mona Lisa, because I assure you, you could get through the Louvre, see a whole lot of fantastic art and never see the Mona Lisa. Absolutely. And you would be just fine.
Well, you know? And the other thing is, so something that we did on our last family vacation is actually each of us got to pick something they wanted to do. So it was, I mean, the kids definitely didn't want to go to an art museum. They didn't want to go tour churches and palaces and those kinds of things. And so by doing that, that automatically kind of set us off the beaten path of things to do.
Yeah. Well, and incidentally, and I've told this story before, when we went to Paris, one of the things my son, like the only thing my son wanted to do was go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. And I'm like, oh, really? But we did a skip the line. We did a sort of guided experience to get there. And even when we did it, my son was like, oh, but he was so happy that he did it. So I think that when you, when you're weighing that, like, what should we do? Go ahead and do the really touristy things if that's what you really need to do to feel like you did your trip. Just make sure that that isn't your whole trip. Make sure that you're spreading it around a little bit.
When we were in London, like, we could have taken a tour of Westminster Abbey, but I wanted to go to Evensong service. And it's free. You know, you show up at the door at 2 o'clock or whatever, and the whole service is sung in Westminster Abbey. Nobody I traveled with wanted to go. They're like, we don't want to go to church.
I wouldn't have done that. It was
the best part of the trip. You're sitting in the Abbey and you hear these voices of the choir come out over, and the whole service was sung. And I was by myself. And I walked there by myself, and I walked back to the hotel by myself, and I went back, and they were kind of making fun of me, and I was like, this was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I was by myself. I listened to some incredible music, and in a world-class place that you wouldn't, and it didn't cost me a penny.
So,
like something like that, like even the Eiffel Tower, just kind of like, we were talking about this today at work, and one woman said, you know, the Empire State Building, we didn't go up in the day. We went up at night, and we took some amazing photographs up there at night because everything is all lit up. So, and she said it wasn't very crowded at night, not like during the day. So, you know, maybe kind of tweaking what you're looking at just to try and get a different perspective on
it. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that is our show for this week, guys. I know we could probably talk about this forever. Thank you for hanging out with us. And we would love for you to share your life-changing moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. We would like to thank our special guest, Heidi, for coming on the podcast and sharing her insights.
Thank you.
On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thanks for joining us this week.